Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hold us fast, that you are steadfast. Lord, you are faithful, and we always have in you a rock of refuge to whom we may continually come. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to think about this passage that we have before us this morning, to think rightly about your Son, Jesus Christ, who he is and what he came to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16 this morning, if you would turn there. Once you've turned there, I do ask that if you're able, that you would please stand as we read God's inspired word. Luke 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Not many of us would rank the book of Leviticus as our favorite book of the Bible. There are not many of us who look forward to reading all of the very specific laws that God gave to the nation of Israel. Laws regarding skin diseases, clothing guidelines, instructions for furniture in the temple. All of it, I think, for most of us, if we're honest, feels dry and unhelpful. Maybe some of you are experiencing this right now if you're doing a Bible reading plan. It's getting to be about that time of year when people are starting to get into the end of books like Exodus, the end of Exodus, or Leviticus, or Numbers, and all of these very specific instructions are being given regarding what's clean and what's unclean, all these procedures that you need to do in these different circumstances. And it's tempting to think that all of this stuff is irrelevant. If most of these specific ceremonial laws don't apply to us today, then why should we read them? Why should we care to study them? When we think about the laws of the Old Testament, it's helpful to distinguish between the different kinds of laws, the different functions of different types of laws. There are some laws that were very specific to the nation of Israel in that particular time, and they're no longer applicable to us today. These laws are often called civil or also ceremonial laws, and these would include laws about animal sacrifice, the priesthood, the temple, leprosy, dietary restrictions, all of the types of things that we tend to get hung up on as we read books like Leviticus or Numbers. How should we understand these laws? They are the application of God's eternal standard to that particular time and nation. They are the application of God's eternal standard to that particular time and nation. And even though they don't apply to us today, they are indispensable for us to know. Pastor Ligon Duncan preached a sermon years ago called The Gospel by Numbers. And as the title suggests, he sets out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament book of Numbers, where all these different laws are. And he gives in that sermon three uses for these laws. There are three main purposes for why these laws are given in Scripture. There's a practical purpose, there's a theological purpose, and there's a forward-pointing purpose. And I want to unpack each of these in turn, because our passage this morning in Luke chapter 5 requires that we know the significance of these laws. Our passage in Luke is going to fly over our heads if we don't understand its Old Testament basis. So first, these laws had a practical purpose. For instance, consider the laws about leprosy, which is our text this morning. A person who had leprosy in Israel found practical steps in the law for what to do if they found themselves with this disease. If somebody contracted some type of skin disease, they would look to a book like Leviticus to instruct them on the steps that need to be taken. It gave them clear instructions for what to do, how to move forward. So that's the practical purpose. But second, there is a theological purpose for these laws. The laws about leprosy not only give practical instruction for people, but they also reveal the character of God. They reveal who God is, what he requires. They tell us how God must be approached. Every seemingly minute law in the Old Testament is like a mirror that reflects God's good character. The book of Galatians in the New Testament says that the law acts like a tutor in this way. It's like a schoolmaster, someone who teaches right and wrong to its students. You know, in the first century, teachers would not only instruct their students, but they would also correct students by disciplining them, practicing discipline with the purpose of teaching the right way, corrective discipline. So the law has this kind of effect as well. For students of Scripture, the law tells you who God is and what he requires to worship him. And when we become tempted to worship God in a different way, the law acts like a tutor by slapping our wrists and instructing us in the right way. And we're going to look more at this aspect here shortly. But third, there is a forward-pointing purpose in these laws. And this is the most important one. Every regulation about clean, about unclean, animals that are acceptable, animals that are not acceptable, skin diseases, the clothing a priest needs to wear, all of these point forward to Christ. They prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these laws, these specific laws, are rolling out the red carpet for Jesus, for his work on the cross, for his ministry. They help us understand why he had to come in the first place and why he did everything he did in the way that he did. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, is set within the context of the Old Testament laws about leprosy. In particular, knowledge of Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14 is important. Jesus' healing of a man with leprosy is more than another example of his love for the least of these. He is certainly showing love to those who were marginalized, to the least of these, but there is more going on than that as well. The main point of the sermon this morning is that Jesus reaches out to cleanse the unclean. Jesus reaches out to cleanse the unclean. And there are three developments in this story. First is Jesus' willingness to cleanse this man. Second is Jesus' honor of the law. And third, Jesus withdrawing to be with his Father. So first, we'll look at Jesus' willingness to cleanse this man who comes to him. Let's look at verse 12 together, which says, "While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.'" Leprosy in the Bible is used in a broader sense than we usually understand it today. Leprosy today is usually tied to the bacterial disease that we know as Hansen's disease, which is a disease that attacks the body's nerves and can badly damage a person's skin as a result. So leprosy in the Bible included things like that, but it also included all sorts of different skin issues, all sorts of different skin diseases. So this man in particular, in Luke chapter 5, we don't exactly know what he had, but we do know that whatever he had was very serious. This man is described as being full of leprosy. He was covered with leprosy. Leviticus 13 and 14 gives this man instructions for what he needs to do. And step one for him is to have the priest come and examine him. And the hope for him and for others like him is that leprosy, the leprosy that he has, would eventually just go away on its own. Because as long as it's there, he is unclean, which means that he had to be excluded from the camp of Israel, from the rest of the people of Israel. And so the hope, if you are a leper in the first century, is that it's not that serious. That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that it's going to be a minor, temporary sickness, that it would go away on its own over time. Almost all of the instructions for a leper in the Bible are giving the instructions of how you go from being unclean to clean. It explains how a leper can get back into normal society among the rest of the people. Because as long as he is unclean, he is outside of the camp. He is separated from the rest of the people. I read earlier from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 for our Old Testament reading, and it tells us there that a leprous person had to go around and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that other people knew that he was unclean. And he had to live alone outside the camp. Nobody would want to be in that place for very long, to be out away from everyone else with this disease. And so God gives instructions for how to bring these people back into the fold when their disease got better. The problem is that it is not guaranteed that the disease would get better. The instructions for being brought back into the camp were only for those who recovered from their leprosy. If someone didn't get better, then they had to stay outside the camp. They had to live not only with the pain of their disease, but also with the pain of being isolated from friends and family, which would have been worse than the physical pain itself. They couldn't see their loved ones. They couldn't see their neighbors and spend time with them. And there was nothing that anybody could do to help them in this situation. In fact, the Bible also tells us that if other people were to touch a leper, that person also would become unclean by touching somebody who was unclean, by touching a leper. So this man who comes to Jesus is full of leprosy. For him, it is not something that's just going to clear up. This is a serious case that has spread all over his body. And the law in Leviticus almost always deals not with cases like this, but with specific areas of the body being afflicted with leprosy. Now, what I mean is that it addresses cases of leprosy where there's only isolated areas of the body that are affected by it. So rashes or skin irritations on places like just, you know, your left arm or your forehead or one of your hands, where it's contained to one area. This is usually what the Bible is assuming is the case with those who are leprous. But this man has it all over his body. This is not a good situation for this man. There is not much hope for this man to be brought back in to live among the people. He's going to have to live with this. During COVID time, stay-at-home orders and isolation guidelines left us all separated from other people. And as people were at home in quarantine during this time, there was a large rise among people in anxiety and depression. One organization says that the prevalence of depression and anxiety during this time rose by 25% worldwide. And part of this was attributed to the fear that people had of contracting COVID. People didn't want to get the disease itself. But likely an even bigger contributor was the loneliness that people were dealing with. People couldn't go and spend time with their friends and with their family, with the loved ones. Older people couldn't have loved ones come and visit them anymore. The effects of being isolated from others was devastating for some people. Humans were not made to be isolated from others, especially not for long periods of time. So this leprous man in Luke chapter 5 felt the double pain of both his disease and the loneliness. He was excluded from everyone else. R.C. Sproul described this man's situation as a sentence of living death. He was physically and emotionally afflicted, and there was nothing that he could do to change his situation, nothing that anyone else could do either. But this man knew exactly where he needed to go, or whom he needed to go to. He sees Jesus, and he fell down before him, and he implored Jesus to help him. He begged Jesus to do something to help him. And look at what he says to Jesus. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you are able to make me clean. You are able to make me clean." He did not say, "Lord, if you are able, you can make me clean." The question is not whether Jesus can do it, but whether Jesus is willing to do it. This man knows who Jesus is. He knows Jesus' power, and he believes that Jesus is able to cleanse him if he wills, if he desires. So this man comes to Jesus in faith. He believes that Jesus is able to heal him if he wants to do so, if it is within his will. And this is a great illustration for how we come to Christ as well. It is not always clear to us what God wills in every scenario of our lives. We know God's will generally from his word. We know the primary things that he wills for us to do and the people he wills for us to be, the desires that he has for our lives. However, we do not often know what his will is in the details of life, in the areas that are not clearly outlined in the scriptures. But for us to know simply that he is able to do all things is where he would have us be. That's how he would have us to approach him. Because by his power, he will uphold us, even if we don't see a prayer answered always in the way that we would hope. So you can imagine this scene with this leprous man. He's going around crying out, "Unclean, unclean." People are seeing him, and I'm sure they're steering clear of him and turning the other direction when they see him coming, because nobody wants to be made unclean by this man as well. And so he comes before Jesus and he makes this request, and Jesus responds in verse 13. "And he stretched out his hand." And I want to pause there, because from what we know already, Jesus stretching out his hand is a shocking thing for him to be doing. And I'm sure that others around him are looking at him with wide eyes, and maybe there are gasps among the people, and maybe there are even people telling Jesus, "Don't touch that man, Jesus." Because if Jesus touched him, everybody knew that he would also become unclean. Every Israelite knew that to touch a leper makes you unclean yourself. But Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him, and then he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Jesus didn't become unclean by touching this unclean man, but instead, this leper became clean, and Jesus was willing to do what this man asked of him. And it says that immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus provided the missing link in the Old Testament laws on leprosy. The laws regulated leprosy, but they did not take away the problem itself. Jesus took away this man's leprosy with a touch. This man's disease, as we think about, you know, application to us today, this man's disease is similar to the problem of every human being. It illustrates a spiritual reality. The reason that the leper couldn't be in the camp of Israel is not only so that he wouldn't make other people unclean as well. In fact, Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, says that lepers were to be put out of the camp that they may not defile the camp in the midst of which God dwells. So it was because God dwelled in the camp. That's really why lepers couldn't be there among the other people. Uncleanness cannot be in God's presence. Sin cannot be in God's presence. And the Bible's treatment of leprosy tells us that God requires somebody to be clean, to be in his presence. Sin has left us unable to come into the camp, so to speak, into the place of God's presence. And praise God that he sent his son to save us, to make us clean. Christ Jesus has made us clean. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says that Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Not only did Jesus reach out and touch this unclean man to heal him, but Jesus also went outside the camp himself to suffer on the cross for those who are unclean. And by his blood, he has made us clean. That leprous man had to make an animal sacrifice before the priest to be declared clean. But Jesus has offered his own blood for us. And so we are eternally cleansed by the blood of Christ. And yet, we need to keep coming to Christ with the faith of this man, not asking the question of whether Jesus is able to help us. It's not if Jesus is able to help us. We know that he is. The better question for us to ask is if he's willing. Is it within his will to do this or that, whatever we may be asking of him, whether it's regarding a job or a sickness or a major decision, whatever it may be. And as our wills as followers of Christ continue to align with the will of God, then we're going to find that he's not only able to help us, but he is willing to help us. Strive to know the will of God. What's revealed to us in the pages of the Bible. He does not grant every request simply because we ask him as his people. We oftentimes do ask wrongly. But when we grow to know the will of God, when we grow to know his heart, then we're going to learn more for ourselves of the faith of this leprous man. There may be some of you here that feel that right now you are still unclean. You know that you cannot be in God's presence because of your sin, because you've sinned against God. And you know that you're outside of God's presence because of that. If that's you, Jesus Christ is able to make you clean. He died to take away sin. He rose from the dead, defeating sin, conquering death, showing his victory, and he is able and willing to save anybody who comes to him in faith. And if that's you, then I would invite you to come to him today, and you will be saved yourself. That's our first point. Jesus' willingness to cleanse this man. Second, we'll look at Jesus' honor of the law. Look down at verse 14 with me. Verse 14 says, "And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." Jesus tells this man to honor the law, the same law that restricted him from going in among the people. It also says that he is to go to the priest to be formally declared clean. So this is what Jesus is asking this man to do. First, don't tell anyone, but go straight to the priest. And he charged him to tell no one because he had to follow the guidance of the law. A leper, when he has become clean, must first go to the priest to be declared clean. That's the way it worked. He couldn't first go and tell his friends and family what had happened, although I'm sure that would have been very tempting for him to do. But step one was for him to go directly to the priest. And R.C. Sproul again comments and says that this man would not have been automatically welcomed by the people if he would have run to them first. The people knew that only the priest could declare somebody clean from leprosy. So once he's gone to the priest, then he could come back to the people to be among his family and friends and loved ones. And the passage in this verse, in verse 14, that Jesus is referring to is from Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2 through 7. And I'll read part of it here. It says, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds, and the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds. Then he shall pronounce him clean." So this man needed to go to the priest. He needed to make an offering with these birds, and then he could be pronounced clean and go and be among the people. I think hopefully most of us know that this law in particular is no longer binding on us today. Jesus fulfilled it and it was done away with. And laws like this one are what the Bible calls a shadow because they anticipate Christ and they no longer needed to be in place after Jesus' death and resurrection. But at this point in Jesus' ministry, in Luke chapter 5, that time is not yet. And Jesus shows the highest honor and regard for the law of Moses, for the law of God. He didn't come to simply toss out what came before him in God's law. He came to hold it up, to bring clarity to it, and he came to fulfill it. Every book of the Bible is a link in the chain of God's redemptive plan. And every link in that chain is absolutely necessary. Christ came to answer the expectation of Leviticus. He came to provide the missing link and to fulfill it. The priests were in charge of evaluating leprosy, of coming and evaluating these people and declaring someone either clean or unclean based on the state of their disease. But the priests could only describe what they saw. They couldn't actually deal with the problem itself. Jesus comes and he did exactly that. He dealt with the problem itself. I had a friend who would read the Bible on a regular basis, the Old Testament and the New. But she admitted, maybe you've known people like this, maybe this has been you in the past. She admitted that as soon as she got to the book of Leviticus, she would just skip right over it and just keep going. She'd read everything else in the Bible except for Leviticus and maybe part of the Old Testament prophets as well. And I do understand the temptation to want to do something like that if you're reading through the Bible. But I want to urge you to read and to study books like Leviticus, because it's an opportunity for us to know Jesus more and to understand the extent of who Christ is and what he came to do and what he still does today. That's our second point, Jesus' honor of the law. Third and finally is Jesus withdrawing to be with his Father. Verse 15 says, "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities." The people of Israel were continually being drawn in by what Jesus was doing, his teaching, his healing, his casting out of demons. And so now he's healed somebody again, but this time he did it by touching somebody who was unclean. They had never seen somebody do this before. They never heard of anybody doing something like this before. Someone who was able to be totally unaffected himself by what is unclean. And rather than moving away from the unclean, Jesus moved towards this man by stretching out his hand to touch him. So naturally, the report about Jesus spread all the more, and many more people came and wanted to be healed by him, and they came to hear his teaching and to experience this healing for themselves. So you've got these crowds of people coming to him, and yet, with all the crowds, with all the publicity Jesus was getting, Jesus was not seeking earthly fame. He was not after the status of celebrity. It was not his heart's desire. And remember that from earlier in Luke, Satan had already tempted Jesus with this. When he offered Jesus the glory of man, when he offered the kingdoms of man for Jesus to rule over them, and Jesus responded by rejecting it. Instead, with Jesus here in Luke 5, we read about where his real delight was. If you look at verse 16, it says, "But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Jesus came to do his Father's work. His delight was to be in his Father's presence. So he would withdraw to go to a place where he knew he could be alone with God. This was his continual practice, where he would go and pray to his Father. His desire was to be in communion with the Father. And he pressed pause on an incredibly busy schedule in order to be able to do that, to spend time with God. He needed this time with the Father like he needed food itself. And Jesus here gives us a perfect example. One of the most common reasons cited for why people don't spend time alone with God is because of busyness, a busy schedule. And I get it. You know, many of us live very busy lives. But do you think your schedule was more busy than his? People were coming to him to be healed. Crowds of people are gathering around him. And for many of these people, it would have literally been a matter of life and death. And yet, Jesus had to leave those needy crowds behind at different points so that he could be with God in prayer. One of the godliest men I've ever known was a roommate of mine when I was in seminary. And him and I would study together oftentimes. And on particularly busy days, I'd look at him as he's studying, and I could tell that he's getting antsy. And he would tell me, I'd ask him what's wrong. He'd tell me that he needed to get away so that he could go and pray, because he did not like going long periods of time without coming to God in prayer and in his word. He felt antsy if he didn't spend time with the Lord more regularly. So those other things that we have in our lives can wait. God invites us to come into his presence with prayer as well. Let this desire drive you as it did for the man Jesus Christ. Get alone with God and spend time in his presence. We have wonderful examples in our church of people that do this very well. So learn from your brothers and sisters in Christ and experience the joy of fellowship with God. Jesus reaches out to cleanse the unclean. Come to him. Know his ability. Seek his will, search him out in the law, and come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus coming and stretching out his hand to touch what was unclean. And Christ has come to make a way for all of us to be made clean by his blood. Lord, we praise your name. We bless you. We thank you for your goodness to us and the grace that you've shown us. Pray that you would help us to be those who continue to seek your presence in prayer and to follow Christ's example. We pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.